What would you do if everyone said they heard your trailer 100 times? You'd probably make a new one. I'm Justin Sales, the host of The Wedding Scammer, The Ringer's first ever true crime pod. We've been hunting a con man for a few weeks now, and our hunt is coming to an end. Schemes, heartbreak, how to put on a wire. We've covered all this and more, but there are still a few surprises left. Binge The Wedding Scammer wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
All right, Lisa, don't do crystal meth in the bathroom all night long.
That's my opinion!
He will never emotionally fulfill you.
Because I don't want to be a part of this.
Go to sleep! Go to sleep!
Close your legs to married men, trash box.
I'll tell you how I'm doing. Not well, bitch.
Who gonna check me, boo?
Hello and welcome to Morally Corrupt. We'll call this the Thanksgiving edition here on a Tuesday because we are going to overstuff you. with more content than we typically do on a Tuesday because we are coming with Real Housewives of Miami, Real Housewives of Potomac, and Southern Charm as the pumpkin pie of desserts for the evening. I am joined with Zach Peter to go over all of this stuff. Zach, how are we?
Good. I'm ready to get overstuffed.
I don't know why it just came to me.
Did it come to you like God gave Erica her moment with Sutton?
Yes. Queued up. Like two gays on an elevator. Yes. But let's just go ahead and get started. We have some news of the week and we'll get started with the more somber news of the week. And then we'll shift over to some gossip going on online. Over the weekend, Real Housewives of Miami star Dr. Nicole posted that her father passed away, and it seems like somewhat unexpectedly. She posted a carousel of photos of her and her father, with her husband and her son, explaining that he passed and that it happened somewhat quickly. And we know as viewers, we've seen her relationship with her father go up and down, or really we've seen most of the lows, but they were starting to become and turn a corner and rekindle and him be more in her life a little bit more and her starting to accept who he was or is. So it's just really unfortunate to see that she lost him, their family lost him at this time, especially around the holidays. Losing a family member around the holidays is not fun.
Yeah, I mean, we really watched their relationship, you know. I'm curious to see what we'll see about it this season. But it's sad. My heart goes out to them.
Yes. So sending all of our love to Dr. Nicole, our favorite Miami rich bitch, and her family at this time. But let's switch gears to something a little bit more, I don't know if salacious is the right word, but there's a lot of internet chatter going on about the potential return of the OG of the ATL, NeNe Leakes.
Oh, NeNe, yes. Now that she really is flushing Bethany's reality reckoning down the drain.
Yes, she is, which it kind of surprised me that she got on board with Bethany to begin with, because Bethany has made some unfavorable comments about the women of Atlanta and Black women in general. But Nene apparently has removed all posts that had anything to do with Bethany and the reality reckoning from her Instagram. She also started following Bravo TV again, or there was like some type of follow back situation.
Bravo started following her.
Yes, Bravo started following her. And this all comes after a fan had asked Andy a question about Nene at BravoCon. And he said something along the lines of, you know, he hopes to see a path forward with her. Just something very optimistic about his future with Nene. Because through all of her bashing of Bravo, she also is bashing Andy. And it was actually kind of interesting, too, when I spoke to Andy on the carpet. I asked him, you know, they honored Vicky Gunvalson at the Bravos with the Housewife Achievement Award. And I asked him for his favorite memories of Vicky on camera and off camera. And his off camera favorite memory was with him, Vicky, and Nene. And I think he said they were in LA. He took them out. And I was like, that just sounds like, and it sounded like early days Housewives. Like Atlanta was just starting. OC was maybe in its third season. And they like had a fun, crazy time in LA together. And it's like, yeah, like he was actually, they were good friends, like good friends as far as like housewife boss situation goes. So yeah, what do you think of all this speculation?
I mean, it seems like there's some sort of repairing of that relationship with Bravo and Nene. I did not see that coming, considering she came for the network pretty hard and she sued them. And I really thought that that was just, there was no coming back from that. But it seems like Andy may have been, and his comments at BravoCon may have been like the olive branch to kind of bridge things back together and maybe help her have a good relationship with the network again. And listen, Nene was always such a pillar housewife. You know, she was on the Mount Rushmore of housewives. And I think I would like to see her back on TV. If I think she had a couple of rough seasons, her last few seasons, like she just, her head got a little too big and there was a little too much ego. But I would like if she's able to kind of turn it around. More so, as much as I would love to see Nene back, I love that this is really just killing Bethany's reality reckoning. She's like, I'm going to delete all of the interview. She's like, good luck, Bethany. She's like, when Bravo, like, that's how you know the reality reckoning is such bogus, when the second Bravo gives you a call, you're willing to jump right back into the fight, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is something that benefits both sides. Obviously, Atlanta is falling. It is a dismal franchise, and it's really sad because it was really the top gem of Bravo as far as Housewives was concerned. And now it's three seasons in a row now, it's just been a bust. So they need something to pick it back up. They need somebody to do that. And I think the obvious is Miss Nene Leakes. And then as far as Nene is concerned, who's really knocking on her door right now? You know, what is going on with her? So if Bravo's willing to, quote unquote, right some wrongs or tell her what she needs to hear, I think she's more than willing to accept it, because she also likes to be front and center. She likes that limelight.
That she does. And I think if she's able to repair that, I think that'll be good for, like, people want a comeback story. And I feel like if Nene can come back and have her moment on Bravo again, whether that is reviving Atlanta. I mean, I heard the latest rumor about Atlanta is they're not even going to start filming until spring of next year. So they're definitely looking to rework some things. And listen, after last season, I'm like, we need to really, like, listen, I like Candy, but she's just not bringing it anymore. The only one that I think is really good on the show is Kenya still. But even when Kenya was on Carlos King's podcast and she's like, listen, this is hard because look at the cast they give me with, like, what I have Drew and Sonya, and Sheree was a big flop to come back. I was so excited for Sheree to come back and she just did not bring it.
Didn't do it. Marlo has not delivered. Marlo is not doing it. Yeah. And there's also
take the
stuff,
peach back.
Take it
Talk
back.
To the manager. Take it back.
There's also people speculating online too, because they've noticed that Real Housewives of Atlanta has been removed from Drew and Sonya's Instagram bios. Drew did come out and say that she never had that in her bio. I don't know. I'm not a bio checker. Like, I don't look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know who's like actively checking these bios and like waiting to see when it gets added
like a
or removed.
Shift. However, I would not be upset or surprised if both of them didn't return.
Both of them can
Candy
go.
Candy also isn't really bringing it. I enjoy her. I think she, you know, she's a star in her own right. But what she does for the show is not, she disengages. She's never there because she's so busy doing other things. And yeah, so I would love to see NeNe back. I would love to see Kim back. And even if we kept Candy in with around those women, I think it would be interesting too. Kenya is a star. She's doing
Portia.
God, give me NeNe, Kim, Portia, Candy, and Kenya. Like, that is who I want. Those five women, that's a cast. That's some stories. I care about their personal lives, their personal journeys, and I want to see them get messy with each other. And they all could get messy with each other. That's a cast.
That's what I think made OC better this past season, is we had Shannon, we had Heather, we had Tamara, we got some bits of Vicky. Like, when you bring back these women that we've already emotionally invested in, and we know that there's history and there's stakes and their relationships, like, that to me is more interesting than continuing to bring in these newbies and try to get them to fit.
Yeah, who have no history with anybody, who literally you just screen tested them for like 1 or 2 weeks and you throw them in the mix. So yeah, we will see how this all plays out with NeNe and Bravo. Fingers crossed for her return. We shall see. And fingers crossed for a solid return of Real Housewives of Atlanta too. We want to see that franchise thrive again. So we're going to kind of go through Miami, Potomac, and Southern Charm in that order from like most interesting to least interesting, because I have to say Potomac and Southern Charm were teetering on snooze fest this week.
Yeah, they really dragged this week.
They really dragged. Miami was also, but like, again, just to look at Miami is fascinating. So we pick up exactly where we left off last week in Miami with Gertie and Larsa having their coffee date. And we finally see, and this clip was going around online before the episode came out, but we finally see Gertie tell Larsa that she does have breast cancer, and Larsa immediately replies with, "How do you know? How do you know? How do you know?" And then she says, "Don't put this whole situation on me now." So it was an immediate like, "Oh, I was an asshole to you for these last 45 minutes, but that's not my fault because I didn't know you had cancer." It was all about her in this moment, and it wasn't about Gertie and her sharing something with her that's really sensitive.
I mean, when you saw like Adriana and Nicole and Juliet, like their reactions last week were how you react when somebody tells you that they have cancer. Like, even if you have questions in your head, like, the last thing you're going to do is ask them, and you're just going to try to be a support for them. And I think she had a lot of expectations for Larsa, and she really thought that Larsa was going to be a good, solid friend, and she just is not a great person.
Yeah, I was going to say, the expectations are low when you tell someone you have cancer. Like, the bare minimum is to say, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry," and give them a hug, not doubt them, not question like extensively about what's going to happen, how they discover the cancer. Like, no, you just like listen to what this person has to say. And for Gertie to immediately be like, "I don't feel safe here." Like, she looked like she wanted to get up and go, but the producers weren't like leaning into her, and so she felt like trapped in that moment. I felt really, really horribly for her.
And it only gets worse.
So Gertie specifically shares that she hasn't shared this with many people, that Larsa is only the fourth woman in the group to know, and that she doesn't know how she wants to share this with the other women. And she does say to her, she makes it clear that she wants to be the one to tell the girls, and she just needs to figure out how. And Larsa says, "Yes, of course, of course, of course." Then we get a Chiron that says 6 hours later, and then another Chiron that says, "Seriously, only six hours later. And Larsa immediately tells two of her girlfriends that Gertie has breast cancer. So this was like, I could maybe give her a little bit of a hall pass. These were two women that aren't on the cast that are Larsa's friends. We've seen one of them before. The other one I hadn't seen before. So like, these are Larsa's friends. Like, maybe she was just like telling them. And the friends both seem like, "Oh my God, you have to be supportive of her in this moment," or whatever. And so this is all leading up to Larsa's welcome home party for Marcus, who we learn has been away for 5 days. So that warrants a welcome home party. Dustin's out of town, Zach. He's going to be gone for a full week. Should I call up the Bourbon Room and host a welcome party? Do you think? 7 days is a long time. We should definitely throw a welcome party.
It's so weird that she like what was the purpose of this? Like, if you just wanted to have a party, then like, why not have like a part? Like, I understand if they're gone for like a month. I understand if like, you know, they, I don't know. This was so dumb to me.
It was dumb. But she, you know, has a chef come in, cater food. It's Taco Tuesday. All the women are coming. Lisa and Jody decide to dress in matching denim outfits, a la Brittany and Justin. Marisol. So at this point, it's Lisa, Marisol, Kiki, and I think that's it. It's the three of them and Larsa at the party. And Marisol asks what happens with Gertie. Like, they know she got together with Gertie. And Larsa immediately shares that she has breast cancer. And this, to me, in this moment, was more so her, like, when she was telling her two friends prior to the event starting, it felt like she was genuinely like, oh my God, I'm so sad. Like, she has breast cancer. This, to me, felt like she was saying it in a way of like, I wish she would have immediately told me because I was fighting with her the whole time. Like, to almost, like, protect herself. And so, like, it didn't feel genuine of like, I want you guys to know because I care about Gertie and we need to rally around her. Like, it didn't feel that way. What was your interpretation?
Yeah, that was the impression that she was giving, was like, I was just doing this so that everyone can be supportive and can rally around her, when that's clearly not what her, like, everything she does is self-serving. So everything she does is a way to, like, you know, help herself out. But this was just like, I don't know, even, you know, when Marisol finds out and she's like, oh, but don't tell her that I told you, like, you know, let her come to you. And Marisol's like, I would never share this information. Like, you know, because it's just not information that you go and like,
you pass on and share,
gossip about, you know, it's like private, it's personal, it's her health, you know, and it's big.
Yeah. And the women in that moment, Lisa, like, she was optimistic. She was like, this, she's not going to, that, like, really positive. Marisol in her confessional got teary-eyed and thinking about Gertie and her family and how hard this must be. Like, it was, their responses were genuine human responses to hearing that your friend is going through something like that. And it is unfortunate that it came from Larsa's mouth and not from Gertie's mouth or a friend of Gertie's, like Nicole or, you know, Julia or anybody. Like, for it to come from Larsa and the way in which it was delivered, is just extremely disappointing. And then as soon as Alexia comes over, Larsa shares it with her too. So all the women now know what's going on. And it's sad. But we get a turn of events when Marcus comes home and he is surprised by this party. He seems genuinely shocked that there's a room full of people at his home or condo that he shares with Larsa. And they're just laying on the PDA. Extra thick.
It's so much PDA and it's like such unnecessary. Like, I get it, you guys are in love, but like, it's just, to me, it's like too much. It's overkill. The party's enough. And then now we have all the PDA. And it's just like, I was more annoyed with Marcus and Larsa and with Lisa and Jody. Like, it was just the two of them were just over delivering.
Yes. So speaking of Miss Lisa, girlfriend needs to get a grip. She needs to learn. She needs a therapist. She needs somebody else to talk to that's not Jody and maybe not even some of her friends, because she is unhinged whenever she talks about Lenny, which is understandable.
I get it. But it's also like, it's too much.
Yes, it is too much. It's very, and that's what I'm saying. Like, she can't be doing this with her friends. She needs to talk to a professional. She needs some professional help, because how she is articulating her frustration, like, she is still very much, I don't know necessarily if she's in love with him or if she's in love with the life that they had, but the things that she's saying, like how he threw me out, how he looks at me with nothing, like stuff like that, like she holds some type of emotion still tied tightly to that relationship or the life that they had together. And so it is so wrong of her to jump into another serious relationship so quickly. And I loved how she was like, yeah, we're looking for houses and we're going house shopping together, but we don't want to move too fast. I'm like, girl, this is moving
love
too
bombing.
Fast. Like, I don't want to be dependent on a man again. Girl, you're becoming dependent on a man again. Like, what are you talking about?
I think she does want to be dependent on a man. I think she likes being dependent on a man.
Yeah,
she wants to be taken care of. And I think Jody is able to take care of her the same way Lenny was able to take care of her before. But I also just found it strange. Like, listen, I love Lisa. And obviously, I'm never going to be team Lenny or the mistress. But like,
yeah.
Even her being like, well, he doesn't realize that like, I helped him build his businesses. I helped do the branding for his businesses. But I'm also like, but when you married him, he was already wealthy and established. Like, he'd already had what he has. You married into money. And sure, maybe you had some contributions in his businesses once you became, you know, his wife. But I don't know. And she's not doing herself any favors because she's not coming off very great this season.
No. And again, it's just this unhinged. And again, they're not quite divorced. He is fighting her. And I do think the things that he is doing are completely unfair and awful, especially if she has your children half the time. Like, you want your children to live a great life all the time. So like, at least help with that. But he seems to not give any fucks.
None, not one. Zero, zero, zero.
None, not done. All. So after this party, not a lot happened in the episode. I will say, as I mentioned, our favorite rich bitch in Miami, Dr. Nicole, her and Anthony go yacht shopping. We learned that they want to try for another kid, seemingly before they get married, actually. You don't like that idea, Zach? Well, I mean, that's what
I
happens.
Want them to get married already. That's what I want. I want them to get married.
Well, after they have this sex baby, I'm sure they'll tie the knot for you. I mean, I want them to get married too. It's going to be a beautiful wedding.
Listen, like, Dr. Nicole is my favorite.
I hope it's captured on
they
television.
They have money, honey. She is rich, honey, rich. I like it. I like them.
She's the type of
I mean, he's not
I aspire to
my
be.
Type. You know, he seems like a little bit, you know, he's a little too much of a nice guy. I like more of my Austins.
I was going to say, I like him. He's like a good-looking like man.
What's name? Anthony Lopez?
I don't know. He seems cool.
She always calls him Anthony Lopez.
Yeah, like he flies me a plane. Like, why not? But yeah, so they're rich, and then we have this really, really sweet and touching scene with Gertie and her husband. They go for a walk. And we learned that Gertie is going to have surgery sooner than she had expected. And they decided upon having Russell being the one to tell the children about Gertie's diagnosis because she felt like she would be too over emotional and delaying relaying that news. Russell he did everything right. He took it upon himself. He didn't ask Gertie, like, what should I say? He went to the Google. He Googled
it. Was so cute.
It was so cute. He found prompts to how to have these types of discussions. Like, I was like, this man is a gem. Like, he is a gem. And he broke the news down to both of their sons. And you know, one of them, I think the older one stiffened up. And the younger son asked if it was contagious. And, you know, Russell was like, and the website said that the younger ones might ask that. And so it was a really touching scene. And you could just tell that he is just her rock and is just going to be there for her. And I just, you know, Russell, I wrote, he is the real MVP. Like, he is like, love to see it. Love to see a supportive husband, especially during a tough
time. He's hot. He pays the bills. I mean, as does she, but like, he's got all the things down. He's showing up.
And they seem to be like a true love story. Like, they're high school sweethearts or something, right? Like, so sweet. So,
oh God, love is real.
See it.
That's a thing.
Love is real. Then we get to a place where love isn't real. Lisa, and she's on the phone with Jody again, just venting about Lenny. And this topic came up in OC earlier this season, last season, where Gina would talk a lot about her affair and how much her affair hurt her, and she's triggered by people with affairs, yada, yada, yada. This feels completely different from what Gina was doing. Like, now I could kind of understand the different, like, I still think Gina did it maybe a little bit too much, but Gina wasn't upset with, I don't know, like, what Lisa is doing is just, it's beyond, like, it's crossing boundaries. Jody is not there to be your punching bag about what Lenny's doing to you. Like, it was too much.
I don't understand, like, what, it's terrible. I don't understand, like, what Jody is, like, so interested in Lisa. Like, yes, she's a gorgeous woman, but, like, she's got so much baggage.
If majority
and
of your,
she's word vomiting and projecting all of her issues with Lenny onto you. Like, what is he gaining from this relationship? You know, I just think it's too soon for her to be in this serious of a relationship.
I agree. And if majority of their conversations are centered around her, specifically her ex-husband and what he's doing to her and why she feels betrayed by him and the life that they used to live, like, yeah, what are you doing with Lisa, Jody? Like, if that's most of what you guys are talking
about.
And
also, isn't that, like, emasculating, like, for you to talk about the great life you had with your ex, you know, for him to all, because then I feel like he's always, Jody's always going to be compared to Lenny, and Jody's always going to be compared to what Lenny could provide for Lisa, and could Jody, you know, be able to provide these same things for her? And it's just, it's not healthy. And I think she just needs, and it, listen, understandably, right? The way Lenny cheated on her and left her, and now they're in this contentious divorce. I get that, but, like, now is not the time to be dating this seriously. And I think it's unfair of what she's doing to Jody, because I think she's using him. One, he's definitely her rebound, but I think she's using him as her emotional anchor at a time when she needs to be able to learn how to stand on her own two feet rather than project all of this onto someone new in a new relationship.
No, I completely agree. Everything that she is feeling and everything that she is saying is 100% valid. Like, and as you said, like, I am team Lisa all the way. It's just that she shouldn't be with somebody right now.
And it's not fair to him.
And especially so seriously, it's not fair to him. And it's also just not fair to her. She's not allowing herself to fully heal from this wound that this man created for her. So, and it's not fair to her kids, because I'm 100% positive those kids could hear her venting about their father in that echoey ass house. And they don't need to be hearing that. They don't need to be exposed to that. Kids pick up on so many things. They're so intuitive. And, you know, I went through a custody battle when I was a child, and I know how impactful it is to hear another parent talking badly about the parent and how important it is for parents to just be quiet about each other. And so I'm sure Lenny's talking shit about Lisa to the kids, and, like, Lisa may not be saying it directly to them, but they pick up on energy. They could overhear conversations. And it's like, she says it, like, I'm not being my best self for my kids, but, like, part of you, you're not allowing yourself to be either.
Like, her kids need, like, whatever energy she's giving to her relationship with Jody is what she should be giving to the kids, because they need that right now. There's such a lack of stability from Lenny's side. And with also, now you have this mistress in the mix, and she's somebody new that the kids are now starting to get adjusted to. And they're, I mean, I know they're young, but at the same time, like you said, they're intuitive that they're going to see this other person come into the dynamic and see that this is causing their mom so much pain that, like, it's just not going to be a safe space or a comfortable space for them to be with their dad. And so what they need and what Lisa should be providing is that comfort and that safety, so that the kids know that, you know, they at least have mom that has, that's got them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And then in her confessional, one of the things that Lisa says that Lenny has told her is, one day the kids will see who you really are and they won't even choose you. So we know Lenny's still delivering the nasty lines. We know he's still being manipulative. We know he's still being, you know, verbally abusive towards her. So, like, it is hard. But again, it's like something where you have to set those boundaries and make it solely about the kids whenever you talk to him, not about other things. And it is fucked up that he's taking her car away. Like, again, she has the kids 50% of the time. So how is she going to chauffeur around the kids with no car? Not cool. But we also get a little preview as to next week. A little fight, or this week, I should say, it comes out on Wednesday, a fight between Adriana and Marisol breaks out prior to Larsa's basketball charity event on the Sprinter bus. So the women seem to be delivering. However, who's not delivering is our ladies, lady friends of Potomac. I felt like the season wasn't going to be good based off of the trailer that we got, where they spent majority of the trailer making it some type of sitcom type thing or whatever. This season, this episode was lackluster. Last episode was lackluster. The premiere was good, but we're on episode 3 and I'm a little bit disappointed. We pick up where we left off at Ashley's housewarming party. And again, the conversation around Juan comes up. Robin is still very defensive of Juan. Yeah, part of me is just like, I get it. Like, that's her husband. What can she truly say? But the other part of it is like, I don't know. Like, she chose what she wanted, and she
should just have an open marriage and like just let it be and be like, this is what it is. He's allowed to sleep around, and you know, take it or leave it.
Well, I love that Karen asked her that. Do you have a traditional marriage? And Robin said, yes, we do. I did appreciate Karen. You know, Giselle said you owe her an apology. Karen's like, okay, like I'll give her one. We both owe each other one. They seem to have kind of like squashed the beef or whatever, and moved on from that. And then Wendy and Mia start snipping at one another, which I'm not a big team win or Zen win fan. Like, I like Wendy, but I think I just don't like Mia more. So it makes me like Wendy more. I don't know. But like, Mia has never genuinely really apologized for how she acted in Miami. Hasn't really taken accountability for it. So obviously Wendy is not going to vibe with her. Wendy, the topic of her new talk show comes up.
Oh God, this fake talk show. It's not, you don't have a talk show. You have a high budget podcast. Okay. And it's not even that. Like, she is so, like, Wendy had so much potential her first season. And I feel like every season since, she just like keeps molding herself into what she thinks she's supposed to be on camera. And it's like so obvious, and it's just not enjoyable. Yeah.
Just be yourself.
Like, I don't know anybody that's a Wendy stan.
I don't think I do. I know people that like her. Like, she's not fine, unlikable. Yeah.
She's not genuine.
Yeah. So the topic of her show comes up, and she says, you know, the show will be vibrating on such a high frequency that not everyone will be able to receive it intellectually. And cueing that to Mia.
Part of operating on a higher frequency is you don't need to tell people that you're on a higher frequency. It's Kelly Benson, I'm up here and you're down here. No, when you operate on a higher frequency, that shit doesn't matter to you. You just, you know, and also you don't disconnect with people on a lower vibration. You just kind of let them do their own thing and you send them love. Like, operating on a higher vibration is not what Wendy is doing. Wendy is still on a low budget vibration.
I don't disagree with the pettiness of it all. She is vibrating pretty low when it comes to the petty levels. She does call Mia slow as well, which we learn in a later scene with Mia and Karen that Mia's son has learning disabilities and he gets called slow. I did kind of think Ashley's take on this with Mia using anything to her advantage, I kind of thought that I kind of lean more in Ashley's camp with why Wendy, or not Wendy, why Mia brought that up. However, I do think, yeah, I could see how that could be upsetting. And whatever. Mia and Wendy aren't going to be friends. I don't need them to be friends. I feel the same way about Mia that I do about Wendy. Like, I don't understand why her purpose on the show either.
And she's also not on it. Like, Mia and Wendy, I feel like she's most honest, disingenuous on the show.
And then so Ashley comes to after her housewarming that maybe she misrepresented the conversation that she had with Aneka. And, she starts to realize this when she's talking to Karen. They go dress shopping. And Ashley's like, yeah, you know what? I think I might have made it seem like Aneka was saying negative stuff about Wendy and being in a what is it, the Sua tribe?
Osu
tribe. And Karen's like, oh yeah, maybe you should clear that up. And all credit to Ashley for immediately clearing it up and like telling Wendy at the communion brunch that she misrepresented the conversation, that Aneka did not say that she was Osu and that she, you know, was misleading in that way. However, we do see Aneka at a lunch with Robin where she is, maybe she is not insinuating that Wendy and her family are Osu, but she is insinuating that her, Wendy's mother and Wendy's sister is threatening Wendy's cousin-in-law, or not Aneka's cousin-in-law. So it's a weird family web here, but Aneka's cousin-in-law.
It's dumb. I mean, it's like, it's a web that I just don't care to untangle.
Yes. So basically, Wendy's sister is friends or was friends with Aneka's cousin-in-law, her husband's cousin. We'll just say cousin just for the sake of conversation. And Wendy's sister, I guess, felt some type of way about Aneka maybe trying to ride Wendy's coattails as far as like being on the Potomac show, on Real Housewives of Potomac. And she took that up with Aneka's cousin. Then Wendy's mother gets involved, allegedly, supposedly, and calls this cousin and threatens her. And according to Aneka, Wendy's mom said, it's a sin to use somebody's name, and she has a shrine that she puts where of the, wait, she, Wendy's mom says she has a shrine, and that's where she puts the names of people who have wronged her, and that people in the DMV know about her, and to check on those she's prayed against, and that they are not doing well. So basically threatening that she's going to give prayers and Aneka's cousin isn't going to do well or whatever. I don't know. What I do know is I didn't really appreciate the editors in this moment kind of intertwining this with Wendy's mother's prayer at the brunch with this like demonic music as it's correlated to this African culture. It kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And it also rubs me the wrong way that also for Aneka to be throwing out these, like, I don't want to say stereotypes, but just these things about the culture as well, where it's like, have this conversation with Wendy. Like, why are you sharing this to, it's almost like family business, like, especially in the Nigerian community, like they all see each other as family. So then to go outside of the family with somebody else and like share it, I didn't
and
like
it. It was like a big accusation. Like, I mean, is that a thing that's common to like pray against people?
I mean, I'm Christian. I don't
know. That's why I was raised.
People.
Yeah, I was raised.
I don't know.
You know, Catholic and in Christianity that like, it, for me, prayer was always like your connection to God or, you know, your connection to your higher power. And it was never like with the intention of like praying against somebody is not a thing that I've ever been familiar with. So to hear her talk about how Wendy's mom has a shrine, or I guess my, or maybe you can relate, like my understanding of like a shrine is also like an altar. Like you can pray to your saints, you can light candles or whatever.
Same.
That like, those things to me never, like, I mean, they're trying to associate it with, like, you know, dark magic and voodoo, and she's casting spells against, you know, people, which to me, I also just, I don't know. And I also didn't appreciate Robin's reaction to that either, of, like, entertaining it when it was so ludicrous to me.
Yes, I agree. I thought all of it was really messy and stupid, just like low hanging fruit. But that's how the episode ended. We do get Juan at a group event next week, and we also get the confrontation between Aneka and Wendy talking about this accusation of her mother being a voodoo witchcraft woman. Which is just like, again, like it's kind of similar to the Atlanta storyline of like Marlo being upset with Candy about, so like it's just, these aren't fights that need to, that don't translate well for television. They're not like, and the way in which they're being delivered also, like, I just don't know. We'll see how this plays out my bet is probably not well.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's, huzzah, a toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit jiffylube.com.
And then Southern Charm. This was not a fun episode.
I mean, the only thing that was interesting is we got a little bit more info on the night that Austin and Taylor hooked up. But I'm also like, but now we're just dragging this out so much. It's like, give us a couple of good episodes where we get it all out there. But like, stretching it this long is just silly to me.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is what the rest of the season is going to be like.
Just more breadcrumbs that we get about it every week that really don't tell us much.
Yes. Yes. We do learn that Taylor and Shep just kissed when they shared a bed together at his family cabin. I don't know. I don't really care either.
They were drunk. They have history together. I wasn't really shocked by that, nor was that a big bombshell to me.
Yes.
I would have loved for them to have gotten back together. Like, that would have at least been an interesting plot twist. Not that I
mean,
want...
a plot twist,
well,
sure.
They're both terrible.
They're both terrible,
Chelsea. Neither one of them is great.
I guess. They deserve each other.
They deserve each other.
Patricia plans on hosting another gentleman's dinner at her house.
Oh, God.
Which we've seen over... And I hated the flashbacks of Thomas Ravenel. And who's that other, like... guy he was a horrible man as well, Thomas's friend. Like, why did we have to see them on our screens? Didn't ask for it, didn't need it, don't want it. Also don't understand why these guys get such nice dinners. Like, can we have like a nice ladies dinner? Can we have a ladies British dinner? Like maybe it's for comic relief, I don't know, but they don't deserve it. And then Paige and Craig go for a date. Paige is in town. We learn that, like, the other gentlemen and, like, even some of the women, they want to befriend Paige. But every time she's in town, it's just Craig and Paige. They don't really do anything else. And, you know, Paige is apprehensive about moving to South Carolina. Craig is ready to take the next step. We've seen this in Summer House. We've seen this in Southern Charm. Like, we get it. This is where you guys are. It seems like you guys will be here for a long time. I'm tired of this storyline as well.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Paige just gets more and more annoying every time I see her on my screen. And I used to really like Paige. But I also don't feel like she's as invested in the relationship as Craig is. Like, I feel like Craig is like, I'm all in with you. And Paige is very much like, you're fine for now.
Yeah,
like, Paige knows the relationship's not going anywhere. She just likes the comfort of keeping Craig.
And what she keeps saying, or what she had said before and something, and I asked Craig about this too at BravoCon, is that she doesn't feel a need to move to South Carolina until she gets pregnant. which I don't fully understand. Like, you're going to get married, you're going to be engaged, you're going to get married, and you guys are still going to live separate lives. Like, is he going to move to New York during those times? Like, I don't get that.
I'm not against that. I kind of like the idea of like us like having separate lives. Like, you know,
when you're married?
Why not? It worked for Gwyneth Paltrow.
Early in her marriage? Like, that's how your marriage
starts? The whole first year Gwyneth Paltrow was married to Brad Falchuk, they lived in separate houses.
In the same state?
I mean, yeah, the houses weren't far from each other. But, like, I need my freedom. I need my independence. That, like, I don't hate that idea. And I feel like
I don't love it. I don't love it. And especially because I don't love it because I can tell Craig doesn't love it. Like, he doesn't want that life.
No.
And so it seems like he's just, like, he feels like Paige is endgame. And, like, regardless of the circumstances that surround it, you know? So, I don't know. Bless, but not for me. Madison also says that she goes to her and Vanita meet up for lunch, and she says that her and her husband are ready and trying for a baby of their own, which is cute, but not much there. I like seeing Vanita and Madison together, but like it's not like a real conversation starter as far as, you know, breaking it down. Then we get to this royal dinner. So Patricia wanted to put on this royal dinner because she got some cake from Camilla and Prince, what's his name? Charles?
Prince Charles, yeah.
Right?
Well, now he's King Charles.
Yeah. King Charles from their wedding cake when they got married. So she wanted to put on this like royal dinner. Also, did she always have portraits or like a mural depiction of the Civil War on her wall? Was that always there, or was it just more prominent in this episode?
I don't know. I didn't pay much attention.
I find Charleston to be such a weird, antiquated place, where they're still so tied to the old South, and that means slavery. Like, it's bizarre. And so to see like it was like the Civil War painted in the, like, I would have been so uncomfortable. It was weird. Anyways, so she has this dinner with the gentleman, but she can't make it because she's sick or her back hurts or something. I don't know. It kind of culminates in Shep and Austin getting into it again about what happened at the camping trip. Basically, Shep bottled his feelings up and didn't really tell Austin how he genuinely felt, and it all came bubbling over while they were out in the mountains. I agreed with Shep and that Austin really didn't have any moral ground to stand on when it came to being upset with him with how he felt when he was the one that betrayed his friend. I also agree with Craig and like, pick a side, buddy. Either you hate him and you don't see yourself being friends with him again, or you're over it. And
I think Craig just
wants you, and
Craig just wants them to like hash it out and really like have the conversation and move on from it. Cause I think he sees that Shep is not really dealing with it. Shep's avoiding it because he doesn't want to deal with it. He doesn't want to face it. And I just feel like, you know, I get Craig's position in this because these are both his friends, and obviously he's still going to be friends with both of them, but he also knows that they have to work through this conflict, and they're not working through it because Austin doesn't want to deal with it, and Shep doesn't want to deal with his emotions around it. And I wish they would just have that conversation and hash it out, and then maybe take some space apart. Like, I think space is healthy. You can just like take a bit of a break, take a friendship pause, you know, and then maybe at some point, when the dust settles a bit, you can kind of move forward.
Yeah, we'll see. Shep leaves, and we do, as you said at the top of this, learn a little bit more about how the kiss all went down. Taylor even said it to JT when they went on their like little picnic date or whatever earlier in the episode, that she was the one that kind of initiated first contact with Austin. And Austin says too, so they were dancing in his house, apartment or condo, whatever. And, he turns around and then she just all of a sudden goes in to kiss him. And that's kind of what it was. And it wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know. But
it was big enough of a deal for them to consider talking to their families about whether or not they should date.
Yes.
It was a big deal.
And keep it a secret for 6 months.
Yeah.
Which also, Craig also points out the inconsistencies of the timeline, because people thought the kiss happened in New York. Now we're learning that it happened in Charleston. We also know that they spent the night several times together after that. So it's like, if you open the door to a kiss the first time, doesn't that leave the door open for several other kisses or opportunities for other things to happen? It does. Seems like they're still fudging a lot of the truth. Yeah. Which at this point, just say it.
I mean, listen, you can have platonic cuddles with your friends. I think we've already had this conversation.
Okay, Zach, we don't need to hear this from you. It's pretty rich coming from you, Zach.
You know what? I'm just saying that, like, maybe now giving them the benefit of the doubt, maybe there was a spark and they're like, okay, that happened and that was hot and heavy. And like, maybe now we know that it's not going to go anywhere else. So we can kind of keep it in this, like, safe zone, you know?
No, but nice try.
I'm just trying to understand their logic and reasoning in it.
I don't know.
I don't think Taylor knows what she wants. I think she wants Austin, but she also wants Shep. And I just think Taylor's a hot mess.
Yeah, she's a hot mess express. Next week, they go to Jamaica and we get the cast trip going. So we'll see some of that. But you guys, happy Thanksgiving. Zach, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Getting stuffed, apparently.
Love it. Same.
Do you have any fun plans? Are you and Dustin? Oh, is Dustin traveling? He's home for the holidays?
He's home for Thanksgiving. I will be with my parents for the week, and then also going to have Thanksgiving with my aunt. So, yes, making lots of food, enjoying time with family. I'll probably watch some of the shows, the Bravo shows, with my mom because she loves Bravo as well. So shout out to Yolanda because she listens. But all right, guys, happy Thanksgiving. We will be back next Tuesday with more Bravo coverage. We will not have a show Friday, but don't worry, we will be catching you up all next week again with a show next Tuesday and next Friday to cover everything going on in Bravo. Zach, always a pleasure talking to you, and we'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.